Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
Tonight, we'll go back in time to seasons past, when 22 men graced the rigor fields of yesterday, fighting for one more first down, one more yard gained, one final score that would bring victory. After 60 minutes of battle on the gridiron, tonight we'll explore the world of gridiron greats. Welcome to Gridiron Greats, football history and its memorabilia. The Sports History Network, in conjunction with Slick Enterprises, and we're live from the Southport, North Carolina home of Gridiron Greats Magazine. I'm Bob Slick, publisher and editor of Gridiron Greats Magazine, and I'll be your host for the show. Gridiron Greats is the only publication in North America that focuses upon the history and memorabilia of the North American football game since its inception in 1869. We cover 150 plus years of football history and memorabilia, and you can find us on the web at gridirongreatsmagazine.com. It is at this time I'd like to introduce my co-host, the senior contributing writer to Gridiron Greats Magazine, a football memorabilia historian specializing in pre-World War II items, in particular Red Grange, and also Seattle Seahawk items, in particular Steve Larger. He hails from Portland, Oregon, the one, the only, Mr. Joe Squires. Joe, welcome to the show.
Captain, good to be here. A nice football Sunday show. I like it.
We have it. I boxed out of the games I like to watch down here. I get the local teams, so on and so forth. And it's still rough for me to watch Carolina and the Panthers and their escapades in football.
Certain teams just can't get it right. The Browns are up there in that.
I never have seen more New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons, Miami Dolphins, and Tampa Buck football games in my life since I've been down here. But anyways, we're going to get right to the chase. One general comment. We got a lot of feedback of our last podcast, which we talked about in an open forum, the differences between rarity, price, scarcity, so on and so forth.
Yeah,
and it was brought to mind and brought to my attention, and you're going to talk a little bit about that REA auction that's out, that this auction had absolutely no mayos in it, but it had a lot of chickles in it. And I find that kind of interesting that, again, we mentioned in the last show, mayos are, you know, pretty much not overly found anymore. And we're seeing some recycling of them. We're seeing the raw mayos of Joe Colabella cards out of California being bought up finally. And I'm sure they're being transported as we speak to get graded as fast as possible.
The optimistic Bob, yeah.
Boost on the price of the card. But again, I reiterate, you know, here's a card, the mayos, very limited in quantity. And all of a sudden now are red hot to the point, you know, do I take the 20 I have and bring them to light again? Or do I, you know, just continue to ride out the storm? But it also parallels what you're seeing in the auction. So I'm going to hand off to you. And there's a Mr. Nagurski card and a few other choice gems that you've come across there.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple I talked a couple weeks ago about. We're kind of in an auction desert right now. BBC East starts up here pretty quick. I reached out to Steve Hart to see if he'd like to give us some insight on what might be coming up in the auction. Waiting to hear back. But Mile High popped. It wasn't that impressive. It was very eBay-esque. And
Right.
REA is always good for a couple of good cards. And they did not disappoint. They had this little beauty. This 5.5, which is just absolutely perfectly centered.
Wow.
Sure, but underneath his thumbs up, everything's okay. His left hand are right. Excuse me, there's a couple of little things, but little dirt marks. Who knows if those would come out, but I mean, not doesn't detract from the card whatsoever. Really good looking. This is the kind of card that I would yeah that people say that a 5.5, what's wrong with it? There must be a wrinkle or something. And even the back looks good. You've got this little stain here, but other than that,
That's a
good
nice,
looking
beautiful.
card.
So my question for you leading off, we're at 39 plus the VIG.
Oh, did it just? Oh, no, excuse me. I was like, did somebody just bid on it? I was looking at next bid, not current bid.
All right.
Sorry.
So long story short, let's play guess the future here. Are we looking at a 300K card, or are we looking at a 400K card, or are we looking at a 100K card?
Oh boy, oh boy. I don't think it. Boy, I don't know. Well, we just saw that PSA 2.5 that had a print defect under his same,
Right.
right hand, the thumbs up hand. And it went for $25,000. I mean,
Right.
so I could easily see this hitting $70,000. That would be my guess.
Okay. Okay.
I think it runs out of steam here, 70, 75, but I think it runs out of steam here at the 40 and we'll sit. But I mean,
All right,
lots of time left.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this could be a $90,000 to $100,000 card.
Yeah, you might be right.
And if it does, then we see now another price point has been penetrated for this infamous card, and anything above 5.5 now has a new high water mark as and a high price mark for that card at the
What a
same time.
beautiful card, though, seriously. And there's
It is. By by far and wide, just looking at it, it's so visually appealing. If somebody had open pockets, they wouldn't hesitate to really run up the price, not run up the price, but bid very high for that price in order to get a in order to obtain it and get it type
There
of
are three Nagurskis in this auction, oddly
Okay.
enough. Let me grab this. Here are the three. As you can see on the left is our 5.5 we are just looking at. There's a PSA 4 that's not quite as nice. Does that click on the link when I
Yeah,
okay.
you're on it.
So not as centered PSA
Right.
4, which
Right.
is about the equivalent of an SGC 55.
Right.
But obviously the centering's off, the corners are a lot sharper, no print defect under his hand. This is a PSA 6 OC. So you can ask for it not to have a qualifier. This is probably, that. And then you've got this one, which is,
Oh, 40.
riddled with a couple print defects, not quite as centered, a little more rounded corners. But I mean, at $9,500 at, 20, 20, 20% or 80% less than that. A few more dirt stains and but three Nagurskis in an auction where you normally don't
So
see that many.
is that logical to run three Nagurskis in one auction? I mean, I'm wondering about that. Don't wouldn't you want to premier first auction your best? Second auction, the mid one, and then the third auction, the roundup one. I
Don't
don't
know.
understand the
I,
logic.
they're all such different grades. I don't know. I try not to. Brian Dwyer has been doing this a long time. He's been in the hobby.
Oh, I know that. I know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're the
We're friends
captain.
with Brian, and he's a friend of the magazine. So it's
Yeah.
I but I still in the back of my mind, I'm saying, and
No,
again,
no.
looking at that too before you even
Well,
mentioned it today.
when you consign things, don't you like when will this run? It'll run in the next auction. So imagine the first Nagurski was like, it'll run in the next auction, obviously.
Right.
Second one was, hey, we have another one running, but it's a totally different grade. It's PSA, your SGC. And then you get this SGC 55, and you're like, obviously, we're going to run this in the next one. There's the people, you have one that'll go for between 75 and 90,000, and you have the other ones that are going to be in the 25,
Yeah.
40,000. I don't know, but it seems like they're totally different price ranges and product.
Right. And again, he is considerate of his bidders. Again, big pocket big bidders are not going to go for the 5.5 one. They may go for the SGC one. A collector who would just be happy to get anything will be bidding on the SGC one. A bidder who has a little more money, a little more fussy about his collection will go for the mid one. So, I mean, there's so many different arguments on it. I mean, I get it. I get it to a certain degree, but I don't know if I was one of the consignees for those of one of those three, and it's highly improbable, in my opinion, all three come from the same owner or consignor. So, I would be a little concerned. Okay, I'm up against two other Nagurskis. I don't know if this is good or bad. And again, it'll all play out when we see what the prices are on everything.
If I had one of the two lower quality, the PSA 4 or the SGC 40, I'd be concerned
Yeah. That was
that the
just
other
a
one,
thought. Yeah.
if I've got that PSA 4, which is way OC, I'm concerned there's another one that's, equivalent. Do you want the
Right.
SGC 40 that's has a little more print, print defects on it or, dots on it, dirt, and but it's centered, or do you want the 4 that has crisp, sharp corners but is off center? I mean,
Right.
us collectors have pride when when somebody's like, hey, share your Nagurskis, and you throw up that PSA 4 that's way OC, half the people are going to be like, that's not visually, I mean, and you hear it all the time, that visually that card is way better than the grade. And
Right.
that SGC 55 is way better than the grade. That PSA 4, half of our friends are going to be like, ooh, nice corners. It's
Yeah.
not the corners that make the card.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, there's,
So.
I think that SGC 40 will go more than the PSA 4 almost, just because,
Okay.
yeah,
All right.
I don't know. I mean, what do I know? I'm just a collector.
Well, you got a 10K gap right now between those two cards, so it'll be interesting
Oh,
to see.
good point. Yeah, I missed that.
So,
Good point.
could catch a lot of steam, and they could end up being flat, 25, 30K for both of them, and or the fours at its high point right now. Now there's room to move up the SGC one. While the 5.5 is gold. I mean, that's the way we can look at the mentality of a bidder right now and or a collector trying to put the set together or just wanting the big name cards like a Nagurski
Yeah,
or.
just nice to see an auction of that caliber pop because, like I said, Mile High popped, and I'm usually like, okay, there's one or two good things in Mile High. Nothing. eBay-esque is what I call it. When lot number 5 is like a PSA 6, 52 Bowman, you're kind of like a, oh well. So it's just nice to see good quality stuff. But we heard from an auction house once, I think it was Al Crisafulli. Who said you football collectors are selfish? You tend to hoard your stuff.
Right.
You
And
buy
it's true.
it, and then hang on to it. So you don't get that many free radical things. Whereas baseball collectors tend to buy it, hang on to it, and then 3, 4 years later, when they need something, they sell something to get something.
Right. And I think the baseball card collector is always evolving. They lose interest in whatever, let's say, a 48, 49 leaf baseball set. And then they want to go into like a play ball set or whatever. So they'll dump the leafs or they'll break up the leaf sets. Keep only their favorite players or teams, and then they'll move on to the next thing. Football, we don't do that. I mean, I'm an excellent example. Starting basically 9 years ago, I knew I wasn't going to. I did not want to hold on to everything because it was just going to be logistically too great to
To move
handle.
it. Yeah.
So I knew I had to sell off some of the stuff, but I still have a lot of stuff that has not seen the light of day in 30, 40 years. So, I mean, it's.
Remember getting a couple care packages from Wallingford, Connecticut. That were a little too big to have a gridiron grates inside of it. So open it up and some of your early publications, which was really cool to read.
So there's a lot of stuff to me in my collection, and I know several other longtime collector, private collectors, there you haven't seen anything yet. And when it comes to the market, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens and how the market reacts to it. And it's,
What shirt are you rocking there, Captain? I
I
see
have
Colts. I see Colts, but
Baltimore
oh,
Colts,
okay.
1947.
I was we had some friends and family over for dinner last night, and somebody was like, "Yeah, they were out of there." I didn't even know they left. Somebody made a comment like the Baltimore Colts in 1983. And I don't get the reference. I'm like the Midnight Move. Nobody Baltimore Colts Midnight Move. Nobody knows. It was like, hey, not everybody's a football guy like you. I'm like, okay, I thought Midnight Move, the Colts. I mean, wasn't there a 30 for 30 on the Baltimore Colts? Just the moving vans just showing up, and the
That was it.
Mayflower vans showing up, and they're gone.
They are gone. They are gone. And then they underwent the USFL. They underwent the CFL. And then they got back the Ravens after
Speaking of Midnight
Baltimore's.
Moves, I'm wearing the Cleveland Rams.
Cleveland Rams, yes.
It's just a little colder here. What I love is one of the prime examples of pettiness when the Indianapolis Colts play against Baltimore Ravens. They don't say like every other team they put up, the team name, the Colts, the Seahawks, et cetera. Well, when they play the Indianapolis Colts, they put up Indy instead of the Colts because they're like, nope, we
And
are the Colts.
I can almost guarantee you that was an agreement made with the NFL, with the new franchise, and or with some sort of mythical agreement we've never heard of, and that's why it happens. And it's a good observation on your point. I had a couple of people say to me, I have a good friend of mine who's a longtime Colts fan. And he stayed with the Colts when they did move from Baltimore to Indy, which is kind of interesting. But he said, I've been a Colts fan all my life. I'm not going to change now. That's what what it comes down to. But I can guarantee you that is probably a secret agreement that they have. We cannot advertise. We cannot say the Colts in Baltimore anymore, especially with the Ravens or whatever.
Just assumed it was petty. I love it. That's just su such a cool little nuance, though. So.
Unbelievable. Well, our special guest is here, and I would like to introduce him. We're going to have an incredible display coming up in a few minutes. Our special guest tonight grew up in Columbus, Ohio. He grew up in a sports family going to the Cincinnati Reds, Ohio State Buckeye games, and he collected baseball cards and memorabilia with his dad. Fast forward to 1996, he went to BGSU for his undergraduate degree. And then he went on to Michigan for graduate school in architecture. He's a registered architect and practices in multiple states, including Michigan, Ohio, and now Texas. He stayed in Ann Arbor, Michigan after graduate school, met his wife, and now has a 5-year-old Michigan fan daughter. Michigan. He became a season ticket holder while in graduate school, and he never looked back as he started picking up Michigan items, as he's now been collecting Michigan items since 2001. I'd like to introduce to our show today, Mr. John Stevens. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It was just a little
That
history.
backdrop. Look at that backdrop. That is blue and gold. Blue and gold.
Amazing blue.
I met John at the VFC dinner this past summer in Chicago, and what I found fascinating was his friend Brandon, who was on the show a few shows ago, and him were sitting across from each other. I'm surprised there wasn't like any barriers between the two of them, whatever. And I was wondering, am I safe here? Should I move down at the table more? I'm a short guy. It's going to be tough to defend myself if everything starts flying. But then I, talking to both of them, I realized they're both true gentlemen of the game and true gentlemen of the hobby. And John, thanks for being on. And I want to lead off and ask you, how'd you get your start in football cards and memorabilia?
Oh, well, first of all, thanks for having me. And yeah, like I said, Brandon Kinter and I, we're good friends. We live right around the corner from each other, and we're friends except for about 1 or 2 days a year. So recently we've gotten the better of them in the football, but they still get us in basketball. So
That's true. That's right.
Obviously, football's more important there.
And for another show, we both share an affinity for bourbon, and Brandon is very well educated in the bourbon. But
Good. I think the three of us have become good friends now
I
that
think we could.
the Oregon Ducks are in the in your conference.
Yeah, we just gotta learn how to beat the Oregon Ducks, but we'll get there someday. I got started collecting. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, where baseball cards, you can go and get a pack of cards for $5. The Tooth Fairy would give me a quarter, and I'd go buy 4 or 5 packs of baseball cards, and
I
I'd
love
sit
that.
there and I would be happier than a pig in mud. And it just, growing up in Columbus, Ohio, yes, I did grow up going to Ohio State Buckeye fans, which, if you can see around me, that's kind of sacrilegious now. But they brainwash you down there just like we brainwash them up here. But my dad would take me to every sporting event known to exist. We'd go to high school football games. We'd go to, the Reds games. Every once in a while, we'd go up to an Indians game because, being in Central Ohio, we could go to Cleveland or Cincinnati in an hour and a half. And that's just kind of the way it was. When I went to Bowling Green, I went to football games there. And when I went to Michigan for grad school, it was a different animal, to be
Sure.
honest, that I was. It was my school. I always had school pride. I went to, at Bowling Green, I'd rock the orange and brown. But when you're at Michigan, it was just different. I don't know really how to explain it. It was just different. I kept all my ticket stubs. I kind of saw those as like almost the baseball cards, right? I put them in the sleeves, put them in a notebook, kept the programs from the game. I went out of my way to buy a program for the game, to read up on the team. And then it just kind of pinwheeled from there. And,
You kept every ticket stub and every program from every game you went to in college.
yes.
That's incredible, John. Well done. A lot of people don't have the foresight for that. Well done. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
They're not in good shape, but
Who
but
cares?
they're still in a notebook. And the student tickets that I had are creased, and you shove them in your pocket. And
Absolutely.
I think
Family
they
love.
yep. And so I met a couple of Michigan collectors a couple years after I graduated, and I went to autograph signings, picked up autograph pictures. I think the first real one I got was Wheatley, and I got a young Tom Brady autograph photo when he was, a nobody. And just kind of put them on the wall in the office and just kind of went about my day. And then I picked up a pennant here and there, and then I started, reading some history books, and I really loved everything about Fielding Yost. And of course, I picked the most expensive person to kind of decide that I wanted to collect. And so I just kind of sought out to, anything I could get my hands on that involved Fielding Yost, I would get, from postcards to letters, obviously programs and tickets, and it just kind of pinwheeled. And then I learned more about, Fritz Kreisler and Benny Oosterbaum and Bump, and I just, one thing led to another, and now I've got a basement full of Michigan stuff.
It takes a lot of people, a lot of collectors. You start collecting what you collected when you were a kid, and then you start going backwards. Like I know I did that. I mean, how many years between you got into collecting before you started getting into, Fielding Yost and stuff, before you started looking backwards, I guess?
Probably 5 or 6 years. I was collecting I went to grad school in the early 2000s, so I graduated in 2004. Some pretty good years. We won a couple of Big Ten titles, and I would say the trip that really made me die hard was I got to go out to the Rose Bowl, and we got our butts handed to us by Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. But just being out there and seeing the pageantry and walking around the stadium, and that really made me like fall in love with like college football and Michigan history. And you're reading through the Rose Bowl program, and you see the 1902 Rose Bowl, and that was like, to me, was just the pinnacle, and I wanted everything I could get my hands on the 1902 Rose Bowl, from. I don't think I'll ever have the program after what it sold for at Heritage the last year. I think the last sale was $60,000 for that program.
Boy.
So I think I can write that one off as I'm just gonna deal with my replica that I have. And but I do have some press photos of the Rose Bowl. I have a 1902 Tournament of Roses button and some letterhead and things like that. So that's gonna suffice my Rose Bowl fix.
Imagine being a Duck fan and having to play that stacked USC team, every year for 3 years with Bush and Leinart. Man, Bush was a man among boys.
Yeah, when in that game, Braylon Edwards dropped a surefire touchdown, and it was like in the first quarter. It was like our, I think it was our first drive, and he was wide open, dropped a touchdown, and then after that, it was done.
Funny how one play like that can really take the piss out of your game, you know?
Yep, it was still an amazing trip. We had a ton of fun, but yeah, I think back to that. I'm like, man, what if Braylon would have caught
Yeah.
that pass?
Yeah, just it brings up, yeah. I mean, it's the same like Charles Woodson, you just there's just certain players that are like, oh God, this guy's a step ahead of everything, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I love me some Charles.
Well, you were logged in when Bob gave the introductions, and he mentioned, that I collect Seattle Seahawk and Red Grange items. So here's before you start sharing, here's one of my favorite Red Grange items.
Nice. I do not have that ticket stub, actually. That's a good one.
Yeah, this one kind of put the NFL made Red Grange a household name, back then. But then it really legitimized, the NFL when Red Grange went pro.
I
And
have that program, but I do not have that ticket stub.
the
That's good.
program is rarer than a stub.
Yeah.
Well,
My
maybe not
program
rarer
is
than.
in rough shape. You could tell it was at the game and someone folded it and stuffed it under their pants, you know.
Maybe the ticket stub's getting a little rarer because I have I think 8 or 9 of those ticket stubs, so maybe those are becoming the Steve Largent
Oh,
of
nice. Well, we might have to talk after the podcast.
you shared a couple of your collectible items yesterday, via text when, Bob, I always love to see what people have in advance just to know what we're dealing with, but you've been collecting for 20 plus years now, not including the programs and tickets you stuffed in your pocket at, in undergrad. What would you say are your favorite things? What are your top items? The analogy we always use, Bob and I, is there's a fire and you have time to grab 7 things. What are you grabbing?
That I would for number my number one is a 1902 Rose Bowl banquet program. I just
Ooh.
recently picked that up. It's signed by the entire team.
Oh my.
So that is number one. My Fritz Kreisler jersey. I don't know, should I walk around and show you guys?
Yeah,
Yeah,
sure.
that's
Absolutely. Let's
our
go on a
audience.
field trip.
Yeah, field trip.
God, look at this. Did you have an engineer look at this basement before you started stacking stuff on the walls? I'm afraid it's going to collapse under the weight of all that.
I'm trying to figure out how to rotate my camera like
You just
Brandon.
turn it around if you want.
There it is. Rotate. All right. So 1902 Rose Bowl program.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. Look
And
how simple
then,
they were back then. No graphics, no. Yeah.
yeah, not too far behind. There's a 1925 banquet program that's signed by Benny Oosterbaum, Benny Friedman, the whole team.
Jeez. I
And
forget
then,
sometimes that Friedman was there. Oh my gosh.
yeah, and then this is probably on my list as well, the 1881 Yale program. It's the
Wow.
oldest known
Oh,
Michigan
wow.
program, oldest known Michigan program to exist.
Wow.
And so I'll just give you a little tour. So this is where I was sitting. This is,
The captain's chair.
yeah, that's the
Look at
captain's
that
chair.
banner. That banner to the left is incredible.
Yeah, it's a 7 foot banner.
Wow.
That's
Jeez.
a uniform from 1910. It was not worn, but it was in a museum. A 1950 sideline cape.
Incredible.
The jersey number
Wow.
19 is Bob Brown, an All-American from 1925.
Is that
And
game
then,
worn or is it what?
yes, it's game worn.
My gosh.
And then
Wow.
here's the Fritz Kreisler I shared.
Wow.
It's got
Look at
his name
that.
stitched inside of it.
That
And
case,
then,
that display case is incredible.
Yeah, I bought them. I get them from Fanatics. I like
Yeah.
these because they're on a hanger and you can open them up. It opens up like a book.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those hanging behind me. Yeah.
And then there's a picture of Chrysler, those two pictures of Chrysler of actually wearing the jersey. And if you look at his arm, there's a rip on the sleeve and there's a rip in the sleeve on my jersey. So
Oh,
wow. I've
interesting.
essentially photo matched it.
There you go.
And then
Provenance under.
we're on Ohio State week, so one of my favorite things, which would be hard not to grab as well, these are the pendants that were given to the team the last 4 years for beating Ohio State.
Nice.
So kind of like the gold pants,
Yeah.
but
Well, the Ducks primed the pump by beating them in Autzen,
yeah,
early on. That was a great game.
I wish you would have beat them again, but
Yeah, now me too. Oh, well,
and
yeah,
then
I wasn't going to mention that one, John.
yeah, I'm sorry. These are some I collect jerseys as well. There's a Desmond Howard game used and Anthony Carter.
Incredible. Look at that.
There's my Earl Christie. That's a, I don't know if you can see it. It's an actual sh it's the pillow itself. So not just the top, but
Oh,
it's a
wow. Okay, I
I
thought
have
that
it in a
was.
sh I have it in a shadow
I've never
box.
seen an actual pillow. I've heard about them.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. It's
It's
I couldn't see the depth of it there. Okay, that's
yeah, I don't
cool.
know if you can see down
Yeah,
there the
no, we got
bottom.
it. Yeah.
Yep. And then these are some balls that I've got. This is a 19 or 1896 Minnesota ball.
Wow.
1925 Indiana.
The old watermelon,
Yep.
that one on the
The
right.
one in the back corner is 1902 Chicago. 1904 West Virginia, 130-0.
What?
Yeah,
What
I
high
think it's
school did you play?
West Virginia.
Oh my God, the Mountaineers. Oh,
Yeah.
what's that
Yeah.
cowboy hat there?
Which I'm sure you do. That West Virginia ball, that is really an incredible piece of college football history. Because that
Yeah.
was one of the highest scoring games in college history. And you
Yeah.
actually get a ball from it. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
And
That
then
cowboy hat.
one of my favorites is 1898 Chicago.
Wow.
Wow.
And if you know your history for Michigan, that led to
Yep.
that, the victors.
Yep.
And so this is my Louis L. Bell, the student that penned the victors on a train ride home from the 1898 Chicago game. And there's
Interesting.
my Louis L. Bell autograph.
Wow.
And then here's my sheet music of the victors.
That's cool. Nice.
Wow.
So, and you asked about the cowboy hat.
I assume it was Robert Duvall's from Apocalypse Now. No?
So the cowboy hat was one that was given to the players in Houston in 2023 for the
Oh,
national
that's
title.
cool.
And
That's
so,
really cool.
and
Wow.
that goes along with my ring that was on the sidelines on the celebration. And there's a picture of Blake Corum holding the ring.
Jeez.
And
The
so,
ring. I love
that's
that.
an
How
actual
did you?
that ring is an actual team issued ring.
It was on the field with
It's a prop.
it was a prop that ESPN had,
Oh, okay.
and a former player sold it to
Wow.
me.
How did he get it? Did he just abscond it and walk in the locker room with
Well,
it?
he was on the team in 23, so he just took it off the field.
That's
Wow.
a tough one
So
to get home.
yeah, I know players that took their chairs and things like that as well.
Oh,
So
wow. Wow.
another one of my all-time faves was I just picked this up. It's a 1902, 1903 little curio
Yep.
cabinet photos. So there's Neil Snow, Yost, Heston's on there a couple times, and it was neatly framed. And then
Jeez.
as an architect, this is Irving K. Pond, who scored the very first touchdown in Michigan football history against Racine. And he ended up being an architect, and he designed the Michigan Union, the league, and a
Oh,
few other buildings. So I had to get his
wow.
autograph. And
That's
then,
pretty cool.
yeah, so
I think
that's
that's
one
really
of.
cool that they hired an ex-player to help design that too. I love that.
Yeah, and there's been a couple of ex-players that were architects. Dan Dorsky played on the 47, 48 teams. He was the architect of Chrysler Arena, the basketball arena that we have.
Oh,
Oh,
wow.
wow.
Beautiful.
So there's some of the balls that I have. And the in the display case, I've got the trophies are not mine, they're on loan. I'm friends with Rick Leach, so those are some of his trophies. We did a photo shoot to try to get him in the Hall of Fame, and he told me to hold
Oh,
on to him. So
I
he
assumed you
helped.
borrowed them. I assumed you borrowed them just for this podcast.
Yeah, no, they've been in there for a while. He hasn't come back to get them. And then underneath the TV is the early programs that I have. So I collect programs and tickets, and I go all the way back. My earliest program obviously is 1881 Yale, but my goal was to get programs from 27 on up, you know, Michigan Stadium when they built Michigan Stadium. So I need two programs from 27 on up. The 44 Minnesota and the 43 Camp Grant. The 44 Minnesota is like a newspaper, and then the 43 Camp Grant, obviously during wartime, was like a little kind of a pinkish card that was handed out to the military guys. So there's only like three or four known to exist on that.
Oh, wow.
So, and I've got some of my favorite programs since it's Ohio State week. I've got the 1905 Ohio State program, 1922, which is the dedication to Ohio Stadium, 1925, which is probably my favorite in terms of artwork, with the Ferry Field gate and the Ohio State car pulling up. 1927, that's the de dedication of Ohio State or Michigan Stadium. And then I got the 23 program down there, and then a shameless plug for the two books that I helped author with Kenny McGee, The Game and The Little Brown Jug.
A little bit. I love that.
We
And
review
then,
GG.
yep. And then the probably one of the most famous upsets, 69 Ohio State game down there. And then one of my personal favorites, because I was in the stadium in 22 when we upset Ohio State in Ohio Stadium.
Yes. That
So,
was a big one. That was a real big one. Wow.
yeah. And then my personal shrine, I had some health stuff going on in the year 2023, so the national title came at a perfect time for me, and I kind of went bonkers. So I've got autographed balls from Harbaugh and the offensive and defensive MVP. I've got programs, and then two things that I would definitely grab is a game-used Rose Bowl ball,
Wow.
and
Jeez,
then a game-used national title ball.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy
And
mess.
then this is my autographed helmet from the team that I went to a boatload of autograph signings, and you can see there's JJ and Blake and all the stars on the side of the helmet.
How do you get the provenance of, of a game used ball like that? Just out of curiosity.
So if you can see on the, where am I at here? You see the umpire mark? They
Gotcha.
put marks on the ball, and sometimes there's stripes. Like on this one, you can see there's like an F.
I'd heard they mark those beforehand just for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you see the F right there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's marked by the referee. And in today's world, you can find some really high res photos. And I have a picture of Blake holding that ball. Or there's an F on like seven different balls. So they have seven field balls. So I have one of seven.
Okay.
Wow.
So, and then this is some of my old
Oh, that
stuff. I've got
water.
a
Look at that. That's
broadside from
beautiful.
1905. This is a flag, which I shamelessly have covered up. I have a press photo, a type one photo of the stands that was done at Ferry Field of the people holding up their flags. So that's one of the flags that was in that Block M. And then my other favorite broadside is 1901 Iowa. So there's the Rose Bowl team, the 1901 Michigan team. And then there's a, I think
The
this was
Big
a,
12 was stacked. I mean, that conference is absolutely stacked. I
yeah.
remember when they broke up the Pac-10, Pac-12, and we joined that. I was like, oh boy, we're going to get our asses handed to us. I've been very pleasantly surprised, the success of the Ducks, in the
Yeah.
well.
Well, you guys are a good football team.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of tobacco silks. The one on the left is obviously Michigan. The one on the right is, I just love the graphics. So I picked that up
It
at the
is.
National a few years ago. Here's the vest and the sweater. I'm pretty sure not game worn, but back in the day, these would have been just beat up if they were game worn. Here's some of my flat top helmets, and this helmet here is, if you look very closely, says "Hurry up, Yost" on the front bumper. So that was a helmet that Yost kind of endorsed, and then I got some tobacco silks. This is another good tobacco, and
All
then
right, John, when people come over, like let's say your wife has a work friend come over, and at some point during dinner, it's like, oh, John collects. And they're like, oh, what's he got? And you take them down those stairs, and they go, holy crap. What are some
yes.
typical reactions when people walk down? Because I've been a collector for 20 years. Most of my friends know, but I kind of keep what I display up a little more subtle.
Yeah, they come down and a lot of people are blown away, and then they're like, "You have a problem, and this is amazing," and so I get a various reactions. This is a game used Anthony Carter jersey,
Yes.
photo matched to Wisconsin game.
All
One of my
right.
all-time faves. This is another thing it would be hard to take. This is Anthony Carter's Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame placard.
Wow. Where'd you get that?
I heard that he was selling stuff for his kid needed some medical stuff, I think.
That's a shame.
I'm not sure, but I know he sold a good chunk of his collection, and I knew the guy that bought a lot of stuff.
We got to move that switch. Got to move that switch so you can get more stuff in there.
I know. I need a bigger house. I picked this up at
That is not going to go over well with the
National.
wife. Oh, he'll probably jettison it for you. So move
Yeah.
that. There we go.
There's Germany Schultz cabinet photo. I bought that at the National this year. That was pretty much the one thing I bought. This is a 1903 newspaper. Sorry for the glare, but of the Little Brown Jug game, the 1903 Minnesota Michigan game. These two newspapers are the dedication of Ohio Stadium and Michigan Stadium.
Wow.
And then there's some autographs. The Snow Bowl program, autographed by the 51 team. Or the
Incredible.
51 Rose Bowl team, and then there's my Bo and Woody. And then as I said, I'm friends with Rick Leach, but I so this is a picture of a young Jim Harbaugh, whose dad was on
Wow.
the coaching staff in the end zone celebrating with his idol Rick Leach, and I had them both sign that.
Wow. Wow.
I love that picture. And then there's
That's
Rick.
really cool. Talk about capturing the moment. I love that.
Yeah, so that's a pretty famous photo, and I just blew it up and had both of them sign it. And then I don't have a light. Let me grab my phone and I'll show you. This is the one bad thing about having a small house. Oops.
Yeah. Well, you're an architect. Let's knock out some beams and blow some walls out.
We're
Let's
gonna work
go.
on that.
Yeah.
All right. So these are some. This is a
Look at
ninth.
that. That's cool.
This
All
is
of
a
these
full.
Big Ten, Big 12, all these stadiums were built, in the same time in the early mid 20s. It's really
Yeah.
cool.
So this is Old Ohio Field. Sorry, I'm trying to. That's a picture we used from the book. The first time Michigan kicked off in Ohio. Here's some of my old buttons. I don't have a ton of them, but I do. There's your Illinois Red Grange.
I've got that same button on my
Yeah.
desk. That's cool.
This is the 47 Michigan team. And one thing to notice in there is the two African American players are actually in this photo, Lenny Ford and Gene Derricott, I believe. And if you go up to here, here's the first time they took the photo. If you notice in the left-hand side, they superimposed Lenny Ford and Derricott. So.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then down here is this was my first Michigan game I ever went to. was the Gator Bowl. My sister was in the drill team and they performed at halftime down there. So
Oh,
that
that'd be
was,
one.
so I was lucky enough to get one of the trophies. This is a resolution from the State Senate 1998 after they won the national title. There's Greasy in the poster.
Was so good.
And the whole reason why I'm coming up here is there is my 1902
No.
button.
Wow.
And
Wow.
then the letterhead.
What a, seriously, John, I look at like display cases because I know how much it costs. Yeah, never mind.
And there's the replica 1902 program that Kenny McGee actually produced. And then this is not a Rose Bowl pennant, but I love this pennant. I'll turn it sideways so you can see.
That's cool.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And then the last wall to show is this is artist proof of the Michigan Stadium in 1927. There's Kip Taylor, his autograph. He scored the first touchdown in Michigan Stadium. That's Kip Taylor. And then that's the 27 team, an original photo. And then I like sheet music, so I've got Men of Yost with Yost on the cover. Men of Yost with an artist. And then I've got the yellow and blue, the alma mater, win for Michigan, which is another good one. And then varsity, which we still to this day play when we come out of the pregame. And then a couple of Michigan songs that I like the band and I like the music. So here's a big sheet music of Michigan songs.
That's cool.
And so that's my little slice of heaven down here. And then I told you guys I like jerseys. Here's
Yeah,
my
the picture of the jerseys you sent us yesterday was awesome.
bowl jersey. So they used to have a company, and up until recently, the Rose Bowl, this a couple years ago, they screen printed on the shoulder pads. So I'll pull one out for you.
Wow.
So there's my Woodson Rose Bowl.
My gosh.
How many jerseys do you have? I'm just curious.
I'm probably in the couple hundreds.
A couple hundred. Okay.
And then here's one that I know everyone will appreciate.
There it is.
Yep.
BB.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So, and then this is an official locker from Schembechler Hall when they did the renovation.
Oh wow.
That's
Jeez, look at
So
this.
there's, it's small, but there's a lot of stuff crammed in here.
Well, you got the couch, that's important.
You've got to have the couch and the big screen TV,
Yep, there it is.
place to watch the games and get away from the kid.
Yep, exactly.
Wow.
And so you asked, Carrie, and I know this is a long time ago, but you asked about things that I would rush out. So this is Neil Snow's scrapbook, who scored five touchdowns in the 1902 Rose Bowl. And this is his scrap high school or college scrapbook. And here's just one snippet. If you go in here, my son played well. Michigan won 12 to 11. That's the 1898 Chicago game
Wow.
telegram that he sent to his dad.
Wow.
And so,
Has anyone ever come downstairs to watch the game and accidentally set a cold beer on top of that?
on the table.
No, on top of your book there.
Oh no, this book gets put away. I just pulled it
Oh, okay.
out. This doesn't get left out very often, mostly because I don't want it damaged in
Newspaper,
the
a 100-year-old newspaper is incredibly brittle.
Yes, so you can kind of see all the, but
That
this is
it.
probably my number one or number two item that I have. I love looking through here. And then in the back of it is the 1902 Rose Bowl. articles.
Look at that.
And then this is, I couldn't just tell you one, but
Oh,
this is my
holy.
postcard collection.
Wow. Those
So,
are fantastic. Look at that. Wow.
yes.
Good for you, John.
So I keep them in, so there, I broke them up by players. So, I have the players. And then I go into coaches.
There
There's
we go.
Yost.
Wow.
So unfortunately, this one was trimmed, but this one's pristine. And then I have games. So I have them in chronological order of games.
Wow.
And then I get into the ones that I think are my favorites are the team photos where
Yep.
they're all with a block M on it. And this one's probably, I think, one of my favorites here with Yost right and smack in the middle. And then they did a couple of these color ones for Chicago and Wisconsin. And then, yeah, so there's some. This one I picked up on eBay for fairly cheap. And it just talks about, it's just a postcard, but it talks about the Ohio State game. And so I wish I had the room like Brandon to frame some of these. Brandon's got more wall space, but and then
Wow.
here's a double postcard where it would have been
Oh,
folded in the
yeah.
middle.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then this is another one of my favorites. This is the small postcard of the 1905 team. And then right up above on the top, I don't know if I can zoom in at the very top. At the top. Oh. Oh no. I lost you. At the very top there, you can see I have the actual cabinet photo of that
Oh,
postcard.
nice. Wow. Right at the TV, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
Wow. Look
so
at
there's a couple more. And then I just got random Ferry Field ones. So this book, and then at the back, it's just University of Michigan, Earl Christie. These are very cool. These are leather postcards.
Yep. My gosh.
So, those are highly sought after. And then these are just random University of Michigan postcards.
I was going to say the leather postcards are exceptionally rare,
Yes.
especially any type of sports type. And what you have there, I mean, beautiful, just beautiful examples of them. Wow, that is.
Yeah. So those, this binder, that binder would be one that I would grab out. And then recently I've been able to get into autographs, and this doesn't get any better. And if you're a Michigan fan, William Cunningham, 1898, he's the very first All-American.
Wow,
And
there you go.
so here's a letter from William Heston. Here's another Willie Heston. And then one of the hardest autographs to find is Germany Schultz.
How many, because there's certain colleges, I mean, that are just have diehard fans, Michigan, and UM, I mean, there's, I mean, if you went there, you are a fan for life. How many
Yes.
diehard Michigan collectors are there like you? Like, who do you commonly bump up against, for rare things?
There's a lot. I mean, I mean, Brain. I always joke with Brandon Kinder. I was like, man, you have it easy.
That's a nice backhanded way to insult him. Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one. Yeah. No, and he even says he'll say the same thing. Turn my camera around. He says the same thing is like, there's probably, I would say, 10 or 15 really hardcore Michigan fans.
Okay.
There's a couple that have, I mean, I'm the beneficiary of some of this that in the last couple of years have, they're getting older and they're selling their collections, and I'm not
I'm
young
not
by any
yet.
means, but I'm younger than them, so I've been able to absorb some of the beneficiary of some of their collections coming available. But it's becoming increasingly rare to find people that are collecting the vintage stuff. After a couple, there's really like three or four of us now that we bump heads. But most of the younger collectors are collecting. Like most of the guys that I run a couple of Facebook groups, most of the guys that I'm running into, they want this stuff. You
Yes.
know, they want the autograph
I'm ready on
helmets.
out. Yeah.
They want the autograph helmets. They want the fake China jerseys that are signed by players. And that, I mean, to each their own. I mean, that's just not what I focus on, you know, but there's a lot of Michigan collectors, but I would say there's 5 to 10 that are serious collectors. And then there's another, you know, four or five that are really the vintage guys that I would run into.
I can't name one, big, huge University of Oregon collector. I mean, a Richie Bartlett. I mean, but yeah, that's it. Wow.
Do you have anything on your want list, Jen? We got to move this along a little.
Yeah, sorry for the long tour, but I'm looking for so I have a full set of graded Dici card or
There you
postcards.
go.
I don't
That's
have the
beautiful.
Yost of all of,
Okay.
and he's probably the most common, but I can't find it anywhere. A few years ago, before I had the set, I saw probably five or six at the National, and I know there's a collector that has another graded set that, I'm not gonna pay 7 grand just to get the Yost and then have to sell the rest of them. So I'm looking for the Yost, and then I would love to find the 43 Camp Grant program. I think that would be in the 44 Minnesota. I know a couple of collectors that have them, and and
Yeah,
then there's a couple ticket
lingering
stubs
war.
that just don't exist, that I'm mind boggled that they don't exist. The 1940 Cal, Michigan at Cal. Tom Harmon played in that game. It was at Cal, and there was like 60,000 people there. So not a single, I mean, Jack Briegel is the biggest Michigan ticket collector, along Kenny McGee as well. And Briegel's got the most, if not complete, tickets collection. And neither him or Kenny have ever seen it.
Wow.
And I know I've contacted some Cal collectors, and it's never been seen before. So m most people think that, let me just, most people think that, so th this is another one, not to brag, but this is my 1901 Ohio State ticket that I just pulled out of a scrapbook that was a former Ohio State player. And there was two of these. And if you can see, like, the way that the ticket is, I think a lot of the tickets that we can't find are nondescript like this.
Right. I was just
So
going to say that they are, you know,
interesting.
non-descriptive in any way, shape, or form. And unless you are knowledgeable about those colleges and that time frame, you know,
Right.
to pass up something that is actually, you know, legitimate type of thing. So.
Yeah. Like this one here, the only reason I know that it was from the Ohio State game is because it was in the scrapbook from a player. And in the 1901 season, a player named Segrest died for Ohio State. And the player that was the scrapbook, his name was J. Edward Bulin. He was part of the team where their parents said no more playing football. And so for the beginning part of the scrapbook, you see all these articles of J. Edward Bulin, who's playing in the games. Obviously, no ticket stubs because he's in there. Segrest dies. There's a memorial page of Segrest where Bulin and his teammates went there. And then there's an article that says Bulin's parents forbid him from playing football ever again. And then the next game in there was the Michigan game. And there's two tickets in there. And on the ticket, he wrote, "Went to game with Florence." And it says Michigan, Ohio, Michigan game went with Florence. And in the
Very
scrapbook,
cool.
it talks about Florence was his girlfriend at the time and blah, blah, blah. So I scanned the whole scrapbook, kept the scans for myself for ephemera, and then I sold the rest of the scrapbook for to an Ohio State collector, which is where it should have been. You know, I like to get that kind of stuff, pay it forward a little bit, and get history in the right hands, so to speak.
Well, a lot of times us collectors know more about, the history of a game like that than PSA or any of the TPGs.
100%.
I've collected provenance on photos and tickets and sent it into PSA, and they're like, "Sure, that looks like a regular, a Jim Thorpe ticket, sure."
Yep. No, I have a buddy that he knows Tom Brady personally, and he works at a or owns a restaurant around Ann Arbor, and Tom came into the restaurant. They're friends. He sent a bunch of stuff to Tom's house to have autographed, and PSA wouldn't certify it. And he's like, "Here's a picture of me standing next to Tom. I mean, not me, but my buddy standing next to Tom Brady,
Signing.
and PSA would not authenticate it."
Yeah, they're
And
ridiculous.
he's like, "Get out of here," you know. So I'm not a huge believer in PSA when it comes to that
Really,
kind of
really
stuff.
quickly, you mentioned Brandon lives really close to you. He was amazing on a program. I mean, so let's talk about some stories. Brandon, some bourbon, and some collectibles. I'm a big bourbon guy myself. Don't even get started on the unicorn .com bourbon auction site.
I'm
Nice.
sure Brand. I'm not as big of a collector of bourbon as Brandon, but all I know is when I went over to Brandon's house the last time to let the kids play, we were downstairs and we were drinking some Old Forester birthday, and yeah, that was, you know, I had to tell Brandon, I said, "Hey, I have to drive my daughter home," so we had to put a pause on drinking a little bit more bourbon, but yeah, it's good times with Brandon.
That's
Yes.
cool.
Time, real quick. Any advice to a beginning collector? That's our concluding question we ask all our guests. What do you got?
Sure. So, I mean, I'll just tell a story. For me, I helped move a collector from one house to another, probably about 5 to 10 years ago, and that really made me open my eyes, you know, to someone that was collecting everything with a Block M on it. And I was headed down that path where I was buying every single bobblehead. I was buying everything that the M Den put out with an M on it that said football. And it just really made me refocus and zero in on, well, what do I really love about collecting? And so I zeroed in. I'm like, I don't need to collect Michigan basketball. I don't need to collect Michigan hockey as much as I love. I was just at the hockey game last night, but so I just zeroed in on the things that I loved, and trying to, you know, my basement's a little cluttered, but I try to make my stuff look like a museum. You know, I would rather have quality over quantity any day. And so I've sold my bobblehead collection. You know, I've kept a couple here and there. You know, and I don't begrudge anybody that loves bobblehead. I mean, to each their own. Everyone, you know, loves different things. To me, I love the vintage Michigan stuff. I like the game jerseys and the helmets. And you know, obviously the national title stuff I went a little bonkers on because of just the situation that I was, you know, living that time. But you know, I like the true vintage pieces. That's kind of what. So I would just say to anybody new trying to get in is find what you love and zero in on that, and my message is, you know, quality over quantity any day.
Absolutely.
Great advice, John. Thank you for being on. Joe, we got about 60 seconds left. What you pick up on tonight's show?
I'll echo what John said. You know, 3 years ago we had a house fire, I had to move all my collection. My collection wasn't, you know, wasn't damaged, but I had to move it all into a storage. And then when I went came to put it back, I realized how much of it I hadn't missed. You know, yeah, quality over quantity for sure. But amazing, John, amazing collection. Can't thank you enough for being on.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And Joe, I echo that because when we moved and I had all my stuff in storage and it was the same
Yeah.
thing. I opened stuff up and I said, why do I even bring this stuff? You know, and I got rid of a lot of stuff before we moved at that time. And I echo what John and you say, you know, collect what you love, have a passion for it. Just an incredible collection, John. I really appreciate you showing us and showing our audience. It's great. Incredible stuff. I truly appreciate it. Well, that's all we have for today. Again, if you're not subscribed to Gridiron Greats Magazine, what are you
What are
waiting
you waiting for?
for? Greatsmagazine.com. We'll be back with another show. Thanks for watching. Take care.
Hi everyone, there's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.